Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. And as always, serious conversations over. Now is just pure comedy. So today I decided to take, basically look at what is it. At least to a large extent, what is going on in Europe. But we'll get to that later. Let's start with what's going on in Parliament. Seriously, what's wrong with you guys? Salary increment? Are you all high? First of all, accounting or something, a public administration standing committee published that report that summarized, the economic, quote-unquote, ramifications. No, there's no quote-unquote in there. That's just me adding in spice and the needed, and this is not just any spice, this Capanna spice. One of the parliamentary standing committees compiled a report on the 2021 NPC strike. Now, the whole strike was basically caused by one problem. Ordinary employees like yours truly here, saw a bunch of, benefits flowing to a bunch of executives upstairs. And, some of them were bought Vrupas as part of their packages. Now, the problem is, a lot of employees were like, hang on a second, how come you keep buying Vrupas for those guys and keep giving them all these packages when we have not seen salary increments since forever? So there was a whole strike that also went south. It did not end very well. Let's just say it did not end. It was dramatic. Really dramatic. As a comedian, I enjoy it. Please do it again. But it did not end well, end very well in a way that, the goal, which it was, also Vrupas for us and benefits for us, that didn't go very well. So, when the standing committee, coming out of the National Assembly, compiled a report on that earlier this year, NBC did not take that very nicely. They were like, hang on a second, we are suing you behind. And, former President Bumba at the time was like, okay, you know what? First of all, can you all just grow up, instead of just suing the heck out of each other and basically, and by the way, you are both public entities. You'll be suing each other using public money just to sit and talk it out. Which I agree with top notch on that one. What a waste of time. But anyway. And you guys, aka parliamentarians, I know you are young, you need PlayStations, you need Brazilian hair. We want you to look hot so we can, practice on how to hit on a parliamentarian. And just so, come on, seriously, guys. Salary increment? Now? Really? Did you forget the part? Did you forget the part where the labor force survey indicated that there are Namibians, or also a series of newspaper articles this year that kept reflecting back to the labor force survey, that there are Namibians that are living on $1,000 per month. $1,000, man. I wouldn't know what to do with $1,000. Apart from, I don't know, buy a pair of shoes. Like, let's just face it here. I'm gonna be honest. That's more than I spend on food per month. And I live alone. I can only imagine anyone that's living with a family. I live alone. I'm spending more than $1,000 on food. Yeah, I don't look like I'm spending $1,000 on food, but that's because, well, gaining weight is not my, that's not mine. God already took care of that. It was like, go here, therefore, and gain no weight. I was like, thanks, Lord. I'm just going there to eat and eat and eat and never have to worry about weight. So, and well, that mission I was sent to fulfill, and needless to say, I am fulfilling it in my own way. Now, and also another, the second reason is food is just expensive. Like, really. Not junk. I said food. There's a difference. Syrup, junk, raw honey, food. Now, that's the difference. Junk is cheap. Food is expensive. About what, like, is it 50 grams? Is it 50 or 60 grams of raw honey? The glass is like, this is where your live streaming now should come in handy. The glass is about this big, and it's about 80 something. What are you doing with the honey? I don't know. I was raised at the farm. I grew up eating honey. That's why I have a strong immune system. Those of you that grew up eating all of the Western junk food, that's why you're allergic to everything, including oxygen. Who gets allergic to oxygen? That's how you know you need more natural food. Those of us that were raised with Othopa, Ipuera, or Shikundu, we have a strong immune system. And then there's, you know, people started, you know, trusting Nestle with their babies. So they started feeding them a bunch of baby milk formulas. Now they're allergic to everything, including their parents. They're allergic to their uncles. They're allergic to elders. They're allergic to respect. They're allergic to everything minus chili. You see, this is why when it comes to food, I am an advocate of everything natural. I don't care how fancy the package is. If I have to choose between something that's coming out of a fancy package versus something that's coming out of a field, I'm going straight to the field. No, but that one is coming from Switzerland, therefore it's clean. That one is coming from Tura, it's not clean. No, it's not. And we've been through this. There is no such thing as completely clean food, even if it's in the package. It's produced on a large scale. There are parts of insects in every type of food you see in a grocery store. And this is not just me being a comedian. This is me telling you that the FDA, you know, FDA, Food and Drug Administration in the US, which is, regulates most of the food that's coming out of the US, basically all of it. And while the European Union, on the other hand, in comparison to the FDA, I trust the EU more when it comes to stuff that I eat. They have regulations. In other words, the EU, leans more towards what is natural. The US more like leans towards more what is making the money. They don't care how synthetic it is and whatever sickness it's calling. They don't care. So, before you start looking down on the quote unquote traditional food that's being sold by the meme around the corner, because I prefer what's coming out of, of a shipping container somewhere halfway across the world. I mean, the plastic wrapping, it must mean that it's completely clean. No, there is no such thing as completely clean food. Absolutely nothing. I'll repeat that again. Absolutely nothing. More on this on the other side. Commercial break.
It's time for Month-End Magic at WB. Get a 1 kg Jungle Oats for only $37.99. 2 times 1.5 kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $149.99 with SmartBuy. 5 kg Nice Rice for only $94.99 with SmartBuy. 2.2 kg Surf Hand Washing Powder for $49.99. And a Huggies Dry Comfort Value Pack for only $154.99. See all our month-end specials at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM Namibia.
Now, welcome back. We've been through this. And I like to bring this up over and over again because of those of you that have gone that have acquired so much verbosity, you look down on everything, especially traditional food. So that's why I like to bring this up over and over again so that I can just ruin that dream for you. I'm so proud of me. You see, there's something called in the mass food processing industry, there's something called, insect parts or insect fragments. Believe me, it's a real thing. You can look it up. Insect parts and fragments are often present in various foods, including everyday items like chocolate, coffee, spice, Especially my personal favorite, peanut butter, is on top of that chart. Now, FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, allows certain levels of insects matter in food for practical and cost-related reasons. However, FDA also sets limits of how much insects matter can, or insect parts can be contained per gram of food. In other words, two cockroach wings and one leg per gram, that is maybe allowed by the FDA. But 15 cockroach legs and an entire abdomen may be against FDA regulations. That's basically what that means. So, before you look down on, before you look down on traditional food because you found a fly in your shikundu, you have to understand that a fly may be in your chocolate, just too ground up to be seen with your naked eyes. Yeah. You can imagine how many people have changed the station by now. Don't worry, I got you covered. Memes and tatties, those ones that are out there making genuinely healthy, unprocessed food that every idiot that is now preferring everything Western is, wants to go like, no, I don't eat traditional food. I mean, it's just not clean. Really? Don't worry. That's where Helmut comes in handy. Well, you see, it's impossible to produce food without any insect fragments in it. Let me explain. Food is coming from agriculture. It doesn't matter which package it's coming in. It's coming from agriculture. In other words, it's coming from a farm. Every plant has insects, or more like, has a predator of some sort. Now, all insects, when they are eating these plants, sometimes they poop on those, they poop on the seeds, sometimes they lay eggs. And it's kind of very difficult for everyone that's producing this cocoa beans to sort these cocoa beans one by one to make sure they don't have any type of microorganism, aka insects, on them. So they just clean it in the best way possible. And, which is why the word used by the FDA there is to sets a limit. They cannot completely rule it out. The best way they can say is limit. That's all. They can't say it's 100% clean. No. It may be 5% clean, but not 100%. That's why when it comes to food, Baba, if you find like a fly in there, just remove it out and eat that food. It's fine. If you're one of those people that go like, you know what, well, we are not eating this traditional food because we found like a fly in. We'll just go to the store or more like go to this one or two eating establishment there and get ourselves pizza. Now, let's walk through that. Pizza is made of, cheese is there if you like it with extra cheese like I do. And, barbecue flavor, my favorite. Now, first of all, you are looking at, barbecue is there, cheese is there, cooking oil is obviously used to some degree. That's sunflower, heavily processed, and because it's also cheap. And now, flour is there. Now, flour is a plant, sunflower, cooking oil is coming, flour is coming from a plant, sunflower, cooking oil is coming from a plant. And then all these plants have insects that eats them. And they also have to meet the regulation set by the FDA if that product is coming out of the US. And whatever the EU, the equivalent of the, of the EU has that regulates their food. In other words, all types of food, traditional or not, have insect parts. So, just eat. I like chocolate so much. It also has insect parts. Just eat. You are not going to die. You could have been dead already. You're not going to die. Just chop up. Actually, that's for extra protein. You're welcome. I can't eat mtete. I can't eat delele. I'm craving for sushi. Are you nuts? Traditional food is just not my thing. Sushi is Japanese tradition, you idiot. That's actually where I disagree that education is the key. Sometimes education is a way of making people dumber. Because it gives us this perception that, you know what? Everything that has an Italian, French, Portuguese, and Spanish name must be nutritious. No, it's not. I have another balloon to pop. Now, you know those of you that are really educated, but also very dumb. Those of you that use those spots that are coated with Teflon. And you're like, no, I like those spots that are non-sticky. First of all, that's being lazy. Now, let me explain to you what your laziness is costing you. Teflon falls under the category of chemicals known as forever chemicals. It's literally indestructible by any type of enzyme you have in your body. You're literally eating a DuPont poison. That's the company that, you know, that making some kind of chemicals for war guys. They decided to repurpose that into agriculture, and now they're using some of them to coat your pots, and you are eating it without asking questions. You see, believe me, this is why I am an advocate of everything traditional when it comes to food. Because everything that's coming out of the shelf, well packaged, is coming from capitalism point of view. And that means everything for profit. It doesn't care who we're poisoning, because in my opinion, non-sticky pots are the most dumbest expenditure. I know. I have a lot of friends that basically have them. Don't get me wrong. I eat the food that they cook from those pots, but I keep telling them, the pots are non-sticky. That's the only advantage you have. But the chemical poisoning that you're getting from this nonsense, you moron, is just on a whole another level. Now, again, believe me, but nothing beats that pot, the traditional one, that one with three legs. I don't know who came up with three legs, as a standard, more like a balancing mechanism for a pot. I could have gone with four or six, but three legs, that one is not coated in any type of chemicals that is slowly poisoning your behind with your educated moronic behind. No, it's just pure traditional gist and actually adds extra flavor to the food. You know, flavor that's not stuck in your bloodstream until Jesus comes. So, now that I've finished ruining the day for those that are... Now that I finished ruining the day for those that likes, everything packaged and everything non-sticky, Moving on. Traditional food, the best packaged food, also has insect parts and extra flavoring and, preservative stuff that your body actually doesn't need. So, rule number one, check. Rule number two, non-sticky pens, they're not the hype that they're being hyped out to be. Actually, they are, they are the most unhealthy kitchen wares you have in your kitchen. Unhealthy than the aluminium one. The most healthy one is the three-legged one you find at the village. Man, we rock as Africans. I love us. Then you have people that are going, rah, 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 no sense. You're the people that are asking for salary increment after 5 minutes in parliament. No sense. Moving on. Now that I've finished ruining my chances of scoring a hot parliamentarian cheek, we'll get to Angola and, Angola, South Africa and, let's start with South Africa and then we can go to Europe. Oh no, let's start with Namibia, South Africa, and then to Europe. So, the Lobito refinery, our beloved Angolan neighbors, even though they always, kick the heck out of our national team, they have, several times made it public to us that, look, if you guys want to buy a stake in our refinery, you can go ahead. But we have been thinking about it for a very long time. Let me tell you something about thinking about it. There are a lot of, let me share with you with the one. tune in on Suzuma Salicho. You'll find it, Francis Sinengela there. Now, where was I? You see, the people that think about things a little too long tend to lose it. You know, those girls that we ask for their number and they're like, no, we will think about it. And then we migrate and then actually ask their friend for their number and they give us their number. The one who said, I will think about it, they are the first one to be so jealous, they can even start go to Benin and start practicing witchcraft. So they can just witchcraft you behind, you and her friend. So the whole I will think about it thing is like, who the heck are we consulting? But so whether or not we are going to buy a stake in the Lobito refinery, now, you know, one of Angola's major projects, I don't know if we're going to do that. But really wish we could, though. Really, 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 really wish we could. Although, I don't know if using we is the right, choice of words. But Kamado, what have you been doing? Now, that's as far as my hero goes. No, actually, it goes a little further than that. I also know, just in case I'll be caught by a bunch of guys in Hobabi, so I know how to call for help. But if you are caught, that one is a whole different one. That one is Afrikaans. So, where was I? 2 minutes to the hour of 10. In a few seconds, we are going to, in a minute and a few seconds, we are going to take a commercial break. And then, we still have an hour. So don't worry if you just tuned in. You are listening to, Matuyato Mawi. I'm still looking for that song, by the way. I'm still looking for that song. And, this is where my Herero friends are not really coming through for me. There was one of Herero song I was listening to, stuck in my head when I was in Sumkwe. Matukondo Virongo, Matuyato Mawie. I know the song is about traveling, so leave me alone. But, I'm asking my friends, they're sending me completely different. I'm like, come on, man. This is where Google now, we need an African Google. Because, You can't just type in Google Matukondo Virongo Matuyato Mawie like you were searching for a Taylor Swift song. Google will be like, what the heck are you doing? And it's just kind of difficult to do. But we are going to take a quick commercial break and then we talk about the South African Social Security Agency and the alleged corruption that's going on in there to the point where in some parts of South Africa, they had to halt the payments of Social Security because over 20,000, over 200,000, are suspected to fraudulently benefit from that scheme.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Yes, good evening, dear listeners. Good evening,
Radio Eagle listeners. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Moving on, it's just a minute past the hour of 10, and if you just tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap. This, for the millionth time is a comedy show. And if you take any of the relationship advice, financial advice, political advice, traditional advice, whatever type of advice from this show, and you end up with a heart attack, that's not on Eagle FM and that's not on me. From 9:30 to 11, anything that you hear me rambling, you're just supposed to laugh and then leave it there. If you take any of it serious, yeah. Well, if it works, give me some credit. But if it doesn't work, please don't blame me. Thank you very much. Moving on. Before we go to, you know, before we go to South Africa's drama of the, you know, South Africa's drama of over, oh, over 200,000 social grants beneficiaries flagged for fraud by SASSA June payments. Okay. We'll get to that in a few. And we'll, it actually reminds me of an article I was reading, I think about a day or two ago. That was also in the local print media here, where it was pointed out that some Christian, not Christian, South African academics are criticizing the Black Economic Empowerment for having benefited, well, you know, for having benefited Black people, but just a small number of Black people, you know, those ones with the right surname. In a way, technically, it did benefit Black people, hence Black Economic Empowerment, but just not all Black people, just a handful of Black people with the, again, the right surnames. Money, 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 it drives the world crazy. PDM bleeds jobs. Where did the millions go? Financially struggling. I know these guys cannot cook each other. Politicians. Politicians create, you know. Politicians make the comedy world go round. You guys keep screwing up. We'll be here to talk about it. Financially struggling PDM has cut its employees from 48 to 27. Yeesh! Being kicked out of parliament is one thing, but being kicked out of your financial circle of your political party, that have got to hurt differently. Now, 21 positions and reduced salaries for most staff and regional coordinators. Hey! You see, now I understand why politicians, you know, campaign like their life depends on it. Because it turns out it literally does. Translation, every meeting politicians are being told, if we don't win enough seats, some of you may have to go back to, you know, to knocking from one office to another. I remember when you were, when every guy in the street used to call you Kapena Ilonga because, well, you kept asking for Ilonga. Well, you don't want us to do that now. You don't want to go back there now, do you? So when homeboy goes out there with that memory of, I don't want to be called Kapena Ilonga again, homeboy will go out there and campaign like his life depends on it. Because turns out it literally does. Now, we know that political parties. That's one thing I like about the I like about Namibia. Political parties with seats in parliament are given more like call it more of a government subsidy, depending on the number of seats they have in parliament. Translation: the more seats you have, the more money you get. The less seats you have, the less money you get. AKA, after PDM obviously lost its second, you know, its official opposition party status and bled seats, that was bound to have some financial also, well, bleeding, which are now happening. However, Party Secretary General Manuel Ngaringombe's salary remains unscathed. Okay, this is false, right? Because if this is true, then George Orwell was right. Whether it's on a national level, whether it's on a financial level, if a financial world, political world, you know, political party level, church level, family level, all animals are equal. But some animals are better than others. We all know every December when you travel for the one for that family reunion. You know that if you are a firstborn and you don't have a job and you show up late, everyone blames you for being late. But even if you are a lastborn and you show up late with a vrupa, an iPhone with two SIM cards and flashy outfit, even if you show up late, the elders at that gathering will apologize for coming early to you, not blame you for showing up late. I'll be like, don't worry, my son, we were just a little early. We were supposed to wait for you. Now, that's, you know, gone are the days when age really mattered, that if you were the firstborn, it does not matter how broke you were given respect. But now, if you are a firstborn and you are broke, oh yeah, financially, you are the lastborn. So if you, even if you are the lastborn, if you are loaded financially, you are the firstborn. And finance means a lot in family gatherings because, well, food is bought, not with money, not with a firstborn status. So, whoever buys the food, especially the alcohol for the elders, just buy for them the alcohol they can't pronounce, like Jägermeister. They'll be like, eish, we don't know that alcohol. Something, something, master at the end, but man, it's good. They will respect you. Even if you come late to a meeting, they will apologize. They will apologize to you for coming early. This is why I like Nigerian friends and actually East African guys. They are very good at coming up with memes. So, moving on. Well, and then there is a little bit of criticism here of, of everyone saying, oh yeah, how come everyone's salary is reduced except yours? It's complicated. He currently earns a salary equivalent to that of a member of parliament, and the cost-cutting steps have upset many employees. Oh dear. With some saying they plan to leave the party or take legal action. This have got to be fun. I will be here to go through everything. Don't worry. Don't worry. Oga Venani, I got you on this one. I almost said I got your back, and then I realized that, you know, it sounds very LGBTQ, so I'll just say I got you, and then stop there. And then, we'll go to the Labour office. They want to pay us out at the end of the month, but that will not happen. That's what some of the members of members of that political party are saying. Okay. Some drama unfolding out of PDM, and I'll be here to read each and every single article. Right. So, does this mean the NSA now have to, update their unemployment statistics? Because, obviously, Commander-in-Chief demands professional army. No. That's not happening. You see, with all due respect, madam, demanding a professional army, demanding a professional army is borderline impossible when a lot of people are joining the army out of necessity. Let's face it. A bunch of guys that find themselves in uniform, aka military, right now, if they were given an option, they wouldn't be in the military. They would be somewhere else. And for those of you that are there because, well, you know, it was a calling, congratulations. For those of you that are there because, well, have you seen the unemployment statistics? Anyone will be like, I tried everything, and until one day when I got lucky, I applied for NDF, and I was thinking, like, what choice did homeboy have? Nothing. So, I think, fixing the, let's just keep working on the unemployment part, and then, we can start calling for, what's this, professional army. Right. President and a commander-in-chief. Wait, a woman is still commander? I would have thought it was commanders, like they do prince, princess, and chief. Is it chief also or chiefess? Look, I'm not English. Leave me alone. Commander in chief, CIC. Really? Do we really have to abbreviate everything? Commander in chief of the Namibian Armed Forces, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, commanded stronger discipline. The military is sort of known for that. That's not surprising. Modernization and unity within the rank of military. Unity. Translation. You know that whole coup thing that I've been reading about in Central Africa? Yeah, you know, and also West Africa. You know, please don't do that. Thank you very much. I'm just, you know, explaining to you what the president is saying without saying. Because, well, she's not a comedian. I am. Now the CIC commander in chief, also underlined the role of, the role of the forces as a country's ultimate, fallback in time of crisis. Yeah. As long as whoever is planning on invading us don't invade us on the 20th, on Friday, during Christmas, because if they invade us on Friday, especially on payday, these guys always screwed. Okay. I have two friends that are part of the Armed Forces, Special Forces Division. I know those are the guys that are trained to kill you with a nail cutter, so I've got to be careful of how I cook them here. Now, she made these remarks during the 35th anniversary of the Namibian Defense Force, NDF, at the Dimo Hamambo garrison in Grootfontein. You know, that place that up until last month was the, you know, one of the biggest well-hidden supply of weed. You know, the police just had to show up, and the driver also is not very good at keeping secrets. Bro started singing like a canary. As soon as the police stopped his car at the checkpoint, and decided, you know what? You caught me. You caught me with $50 million worth of, worth of weed. So what we're gonna do is, I'm not dying alone. Would you like to see the farm? The police were like, absolutely. It's like, all right, then what are we waiting for? I already have a car and the tank is full. We are loaded, remember? We are hopping. Don't mind the weed. It took them to the farm and it's like, okay, now this is a farm. And by the way, there is one piece of, of this whole, infrastructure you people have to see. It's called our processing plant. Then they took them there, and it turns out we can make a processing plant out of corrugated iron. I'm telling you, the Namibia is full of geniuses. Just this, you know, in somewhat illegal stuff, full of geniuses. Alright. Let's take another break. And then we'll talk about the South African Social Security scandal going on for this month of June. And then we'll, finish that up with one of my favorite book that I brought today. I would like to share with you. That is War is a Racket by Admiral General Smedley Butler of the Marine Corps. 1930s. I'm telling you, it's one of those books that I actually cannot recommend enough. It's just 28 pages long. Homeboy is just writing, is because Homeboy is just repeating somewhat of the same thing over and over again. Well, war is a business. That's coming from an army general who was basically, according to him, used by a bunch of multinational corporations to secure, to take his boys, aka soldiers, across the world to secure their sugar and opium, you know, interests. But we'll get to that in a few after the break. On sal di break chefat, we will take a break. It's been a while since I spoke Afrikaans. Kind of miss it.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. In other news, unemployed teachers protest for hiring in Katutura, for fair hiring in Katutura. Unemployed qualified teachers, teacher graduates at the Teachers Resource Center in Katutura this morning, demanding an end to job interviews and adoption of fair database-driven recruitment system. Like an end to job interviews, this have got to be fun. Now, I'm pro, more like, change and revolutions plus, I don't want to sugarcoat this. I hate job interviews because, look, I feel like they are somewhat, useless. Because if you look at the questions that the people, tell us about yourself. Like one meme pointed out, you want me to tell you, I've sent you a copy of my ID, my certificate, my curriculum vitae. Like, what did I miss that you want me to tell you? Point number one, useless. What are your salary expectations? This job, Oga, how much does it pay? Give me that money. Have you seen the unemployment statistics? I'm not here to be picky. How do you go through, how do you handle stressful situations? Let's face it. If I told you the reality of how I handle stressful situations, I would not get this job. Which is why I'm telling you that I have developed some breathing exercise. No! When I'm stressed, I get drunk. But if I told you that, when I'm stressed, I get high. If I told you that at a job interview, you're not gonna give me the job. So that's why I'm actually, I partially agree with these guys. I mean, job interviews are absolutely useless because of the questions that are considered standard in job interviews. How did you hear about this job? How did you hear about this position? That question is coming from the idiot that advertised the position in the newspaper. Now, the very same moron is asking me how I heard about it. Of course, I found it in the news. Oh, dear Lord. Can we just get to the point where you are asking for my banking details so I can start my job, please? That's how dedicated and desperate I am. What's another, another question? What are your strong suits? And what are some of your weaknesses? Just how dumb do you think I am to tell you that, well, sometimes I'm most likely going to start yawning and snoring on my desk at 9 o'clock in the morning? Because I know if I told you that, I wouldn't get the job. That's why I believe adults lie to each other more than kids do. We lie to each other at job interviews to get jobs. We lie to each other in the dating world to get laid. Hi, can I have your number? You look like an angel. Homeboy does just want to get laid. And they both know that the ultimate goal is some unholy screams in the bedroom. That's what they're trying to, but now they just beat around the bush. Come on. Again, look, the lying is sort of like make the whole thing entertaining. I totally agree with that part. So the teachers here are saying, well, we are qualified, yet we sit at home while classrooms are overcrowded, while one protester. The graduates spoke out against years of unemployment, financial strain, and wasted skills. I'm telling you, at this point, even if after graduating, you can be unemployed for a very long time. You'll forget what you studied, you'll forget English, and then when you get a chance to be given a job, you have forgotten everything, minus, for some reason, it's kind of difficult to forget head, thorax, and abdomen. You know, the most useless stuff I ever did in school. So teachers decided, to wear their, their graduation gowns. Maybe you have, a couple of Tura guys there that just decided to buy graduation gowns so they can participate in the protest, so they can, get for us some cheap phones for Marketplace on Facebook later during the day. Not here to judge. They urged the Ministry of Education to act swiftly. Madam Steenkamp. we are ready to teach. All we want is a fair chance. Get rid of interviews. That have got to be a tricky one. But that is what is just basically an update that I decided to bring. Education is the key to education is the key to the street. That's that's a nice poster. Corrupt heads and principals. Oh dear, these guys. Enough is enough. We come in peace. We just need change, my man. You see? No, I'm just reading the posters of the guys that are protesting. And we're done with those ones. Oh dear. Right, moving on. I need another break.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM, and I'm just here for the humor. I come in peace. The line is 083-288-401. 083-288-401, that is the studio line, and 083-288-400, that is the office line here in the Eagle FM studio in Windhoek. Now, let's go to our nearest neighbor. We're talking about the Lobito, not the Lobito Corridor. That one is a foreign project. That one is a foreign project. You know who owns the project when if you want to know who owns something, find out who spent money on it. As the person that owns something. So if you don't want to be owned by someone, don't let them spend a lot of money on you. Just firing shots here. Let's go to South Africa now. Over 200,000 social grant beneficiaries flagged for fraud by South Africa's Social Security Agency for June June payments are said to have been delayed. The South African Social Security Agency, SASSA, has identified more than 200,000 social grant beneficiaries who failed to disclose their income truthfully, the agency announced. This is one of those situations where you have, a school that's built for vulnerable and for vulnerable children and orphans is filled with kids of prime ministers. This is basically the situation here. I don't want to mention the names of the schools, but I know a few here at home. Schools that are built for the vulnerable children and orphans, and they are filled with kids of principals. Really? Not judging. Oh no, this is Mind the Gap. Here we judge. Or at least I judge. And then this is basically the situation that's going on here. Now, it seems that one of the main requirements for being eligible to this, this scheme is that you should not have an extra source of income, aka a job. Now, these guys here, SASSA have flagged over 200,000 people that are not being truthful about, what they do. In other words, they are suspecting you are not telling us the truth because you have something to hide type of vibe. The agency, in collaboration with a registered credit bureau, has identified approximately 210,000 beneficiaries who appear to be receiving income by income they have not reported. As a result, their June 2025 payment cycle will be delayed. According to SASSA spokesperson Paseka Litsatsi, beneficiaries are legally required to disclose all sources of income during their initial application in accordance with the Social Assistance Act and regulations. They are also obligated to inform SASSA of any change in their financial circumstances after their application has been approved, Litsatsi said. Now, failure to comply with these requirements constitutes a violation of the Act and may result in corrective action, aka not paying you the money that they were supposed to pay you. Now, this is taking place in South Africa. Now, for those of you that have been, buying print media, or more like subscribers of the soft versions of those print medias that are produced here locally, it was pointed out this week that the Black Economic Empowerment program in South Africa worked, but only for a selected few black people. In other words, the greedy guys on top that most likely know a guy who knows a guy and have a bunch of jobs and a series, other streams of income, are also benefiting from this. And most likely a bunch of them also make part of this whole SASSA 210,000, bunch of guys that fail to disclose their, their financial earnings. Money is never enough. Money is never enough. And then we go, let's leave the continent now, shall we? And then we go to Europe. The drums of war beating close to Europe. From the look of things, ever since Trump took office, Europeans have decided, you know what, we are going to take it upon ourselves to help Ukraine in the war with Russia. And what we are going to do is prepare for military readiness. And it seemed to have started on the top level of leadership, where you see a bunch of war-ready guys are occupying the highest levels of European, European parliaments, not the European Union parliament, albeit that also may be included in that, description. But especially Western Europe, throwing Eastern Europe here, because also Romania's current president is one of who recently won, and they recently had an election in Romania, and one of those guys that's also that won the election is also being criticized for the first changes that he made after assuming office was. He introduced two pieces of legislation that's not helping the suspicion of those ones that are suspecting Europe being up to something militarily that is not going to end well. At least now, the only people that are not, forming part of this, what's now being called coalition of the willing for Ukraine, the Italian Prime Minister, that's Giorgia Meloni, and you have the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, and the head of one of the biggest political parties opposition in France, that is Marine Le Pen, the one that ran against was this close to winning in her run for office against the guy who just got slapped by the madame, aka Emmanuel Macron. If you are mispronouncing my name, I also pronounce it. You can bet there are not a lot of French guys there that can say Mahongo. So why should I bite my tongue trying to pronounce their names correctly? Moving on. Everything we know so far about a coalition of the willing. Now that's coming from Euronews. That's, Well, the coalition central elements is a reassurance force that will be made up of Western soldiers and eventually aim to be deployed on Ukrainian soil. Now, again, I cannot stress this enough. The war in Ukraine could have been prevented. All they had to do was listen to people that were in Russia on the ground. William Burns, who I have said before that he was a CIA director. No, he was not a CIA director. Terribly wrong on that one. He was the U.S. ambassador to Russia back in 2008. Now, I just wanted to correct that and then moving forward. Now, the U.S. ambassador in 2008, explained it to pretty much all the Western politicians, but the telegram was intended, I think, for Washington. And Washington has a lot of influence, had at least at this time of the, this time today, not so much, had a lot of influence over what was happening in pretty much in the entire Western, the entire Western world. And, if you just fire up any browser and then just type in "niet" means "niet". Now "niet" is Russian for no. "Niet" and "da" yes. "Niet" no. It's not rocket science. It's a very nice language. It sounds scary, but if you look at their alphabets and try to pronounce a few words, you will understand why they speak the way they do. "Povar" is cook. That's just saying, cook, as in chef, cook, povar. Seriously, that sounds like a threat. Teacher, on the other hand, is more soft. Uchitiel. Jesus, man, now you understand why they speak that, they say the same way that they speak. Diavochka, girl. I know. Believe me. I'm looking at these words and going, holy moly. But I'm just trying to understand the Eastern world, and I don't want to look at it from the, I don't want to read it from the Western world's perspective. So I decided, I have an hour or two of free time per day. So I'll just, learn a few foreign languages. And then I find myself playing video games in all of them and in not learning a thing. So this coalition is, a coalition of the willing is just exacerbating or more like making the political tensions in Europe worse. First of all, Ukraine is already in rubbles. Again, If you look up the telegram of of William Burns, the telegram of that's commonly described as more like commonly referred to as "niet" means "niet". When you read that whole thing, you basically understand. You will come to the very painful realization that the war in Ukraine was something painful enough, very preventable. The death of young men and women who have already died in that war could have been saved. But that then draws a very sad picture of how politicians make decisions for me. That politicians don't care who gets hurt in the process, as long as they have the end goal, which is to prove a political point, we will defeat Putin. Really? By feeding... Now, Africa to this day is projected as to have the youngest population. Europe has this a declining youngest population, and they are preparing as we speak to sacrifice them in a battlefield. If I were them, I would say we have a youngest population. Let's preserve them for economic projects. Not feeding them in an, meat grinder, which is exactly what they have already done to Ukraine. Which is, By the way, for those of you African leaders that are busy signing agreements with a bunch of European countries, please read the agreements before you sign, because we don't want you signing documents that says somewhere in the middle that, well, if you accept this money and we find ourselves in the middle of a war that is just all out war between Europe and Russia, direct military confrontation between Ukraine and Russia, well, you will send us troops from your country. You leave us out of that. You leave us out. In other words, from now moving forward, this is something you should have done a long time ago. This is basically how the law of contracts works. Read those agreements before signing them. Because if you just go around left, right, and center signing stuff, that's going to be on you. And I'm going to go on a limb here and say that Western intelligence guys, I have a sneaky suspicions, are basically blackmailing the top levels of European politicians so that they can beat these war drums. Because they've done it before. When the FBI stormed Jeffrey Epstein Island, the first picture they found in one of Jeffrey Epstein's properties was of Bill Clinton in a dress. So, that means when it comes to, okay, now that means, Whitney Webb was right with her two books of One Nation Under Blackmail. In other words, the only way to get a politician to pass your laws in parliament is, find some debt on them, and then you tell them that you have to go in parliament and say this and do this, or these pictures will be on Facebook. Step one, invite them to a PDD party. Step two, spike their drink. And step three, when they are totally passed out, put them in bed, stage everything and make it look like, put a bunch of minors around them and take pictures and videos and tell them, yeah, from now on after the end of this party, you send them a few copies of those pictures, and then you tell them, if you don't do what I'm telling you from now for moving forward, these pictures of you with these minors in bed will be all over social media. At this point, your politicians will be like, no one is going to believe you. Like, why are you kidding me? People out there have never read Whitney Webb's One Nation Under Blackmail. So they'll believe everything that will be on social media. And let's face it, we believed it when they used it to blackmail R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, PDD. Well, it works all the time. Now you know why a bunch of politicians are going, eee. Okay, fine, boss, I will do it. It turns out it works also for celebrities. The entire case of PDD is basically about that. One guy. And this is also something that came out during this PDD's trial, by the way. One guy who started, I think, something either business, business management at university or economics, ended up being head of security for Michael Jackson. You have got to be kidding me. What do people study in economic lectures or business or master of business administrations that have to do with running VIP protection for one of the most important guy on the planet? It doesn't make sense. Oh, by the way, that same guy was also, his name came up a lot in the PDD case. I'm just saying, this world, okay, I'm just saying at this point, I think a lot of politicians make decisions out of blackmail, which is why we call them dumb. I mean, why would he do that? He's really an idiot. No! Someone has pictures of him asking out his Kamboroto, maybe doing despicable things to his Kamboroto, and he does not want his wife to find out, so someone is blackmailing the heck out of him. But then again, I'm just a comedian. What do I know? So, putting all that aside, you know, I just want to share with you something that you have to, you know, now let me just wrap that up. Now, since the 90 minutes phone call, on the 12th of February between the, you know, the current US and the Russian president, the continent, aka Europe, has been trying to reassert its standing on a fast moving chains of events to ensure its voice, its head, and its interests are considered. With war. I have a question for white people. You people did not learn anything from World War One and World War Two, did you? Now you understand World War Three. And what problems didn't you, okay, what problems didn't you solve with World War One and World War Two that you are going to solve with World War Three? It turns out, white people, you guys never learn. I swear, you guys never learn on this one. Now, let me just say the worst time to be an immigrant in Europe is now. And that one now, for all the black immigrants that are in Europe right now in the middle of this war drums being beaten up left, right, and center, I blame you, African leaders. Let me explain. The reason why a lot of Africans are in Europe in search of a better opportunities is because the resources here has been carved up and only be channeled to a selected few that the rest are left with no choice but hop on a plane and go to a place that is most likely going to be a war zone in just a matter of a couple of months of, you know, months or give or take a few years. So, I'm assuming it's just a rumor, or it's just, you know, someone is going to get some sense, but so far it doesn't look very good for Europe, especially when it comes to the quote-unquote military readiness. So, Europe is deeply distrustful of Russia, having seen the contrary, you know, the country breach its commitment under the so-called Minsk Agreement. Oh yeah, that, I know. Minsk Agreement designed to end the, you know, the Donbas war. This is, now, the Minsk Agreement is one of those things that, you know, that if you are one of those regular listeners of Home Run, and you were listening yesterday, this is what we were talking about. Or, you know, yeah, this is what we, you know, Helmut and Dwight also partly talked about yesterday. You know, in the political world right now, you have the same problem with Africa and basically, you know, with Africa and Europe. We say one thing and do the other. We want to be politically and economically independent, but then we keep signing contracts without reading them, creating dependency.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Skyfi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always pay.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, see, I'm just a comedian, not a historian. I don't have 10 PhDs or 100 PhDs, but on the books of the rise and fall of civilizations that I have at least read, the Roman Empire, the Medes and Persians, the Greeks, the Papal Rome, throw them in there. The British also throw them in there. The French, oh, by the way, or the Spanish, well, they all have one thing in common. When an empire is losing power, it becomes very dangerous. It becomes very dangerous in a way that it tries to cling on to power by starting wars. And wars are very nice. You know, if you are power hungry, genocidal maniac. And this is how it works. And the best way to prevent war, the best way to cling on to power, or more like to reshuffle the cards of global dominance, is every time an empire is in decline, it starts a war so that the top guys that are on top of the funding the whole thing, they will just shift the seat of power from the same way that they, they shifted the seat of power from the British to the Americans. The very same guys, if you look at the top level of the guys that ran the British Empire, you see that they are the very same guys that are running the American Empire as we speak. How does that work? It's simple. It's simple. Start a war, fund both sides, and then bang! Everyone is in ruins, and because you are going to emerge as the richest guy, when everyone is in ruin, everyone will not be in the capacity to industrialize without borrowing money from you. How the heck do y'all think this whole thing about old money is a thing? Because everyone with old money, you can bet their old money can be traced back a couple of 100 years. Why? It's because in every conflict, it's the very same guys that keep funding both sides of the war. And at the end of the war, both idiots have been, will have torn each other to smithereens. And now for them to rebuild, they keep going back to the same old money to borrow money for them to rebuild, and then end up in debt. And their people are angry. And then while they fall, descend in social chaos, another war, another rebuilding, another borrowing. So it's a loop. You see the problem? Because, the guys that have old money, they don't care which side you are. They just care about who's fighting who. They will give both of you money, and then you can kick the heck out of each other out. And when you have reduced your country's to rubble, they'll be like, right. Well, you can rebuild. We have the money. Would you like some? For interest. There's a reason why there's a reason why you have families that have been running the banking dynasty since Papal Rome, since Napoleon. Chances are very high you'll find that the very same families that funded Napoleon are the same families that are funding a bunch of warmongering morons running around Europe right now. Why? Well, for one, they have the money. If I had the money, I would definitely fund you behind. If you're a warmongering guy, as long as I'm making money, I don't care. Except, you will need a lot of crack to sleep. And so I like my sleep, so I think, being a comedian will just do. Thank you very much. So, what are you rambling on about? Now, let's wrap it up. War is a Racket was a book that was written by an army general, Marine Corps, Admiral General Smedley, Major General, Major General, by the name of Smedley D. Butler. And it's one of the shortest books you will read. I've often said that if you want to understand power, you have one of the books that I recommend is The Prince by Machiavelli. And the book is less than 100 pages. You can read that thing in a day. And although that one is also, The Prince itself is a book that is more of a type of butt-kissing politics, because it was written by a guy who just recently lost his job and still wanted to get into the good books with the aristocracy, the Medici family of Florence, if I'm not mistaken. So he wanted to get in good books with them. So he decided to just write that book. I think it was directed to one of the Di Medici guys. It's, the main recipient. The rest of us just admire how he, how Machiavelli breaks the power structure just down to its bare mechanics. But the prince later. But now, one that's even shorter, that describes just the, basically what wars are about. Just 28 pages is one that was written by a major general, American this time, Major General Smedley Butler. And what he writes is very simple. From the start, bro is not pulling his punches. He's not beating around the bush. He's just explaining to you what war's about. Most of us think war's about, no, that guy started it. It was that guy that started it. No, war's are rackets. For what you see as chaos, other people, especially, financial opportunists, they will just use that to make a lot of money. Now, ever since European leaders have started beating, especially beginning this year, ever since European leaders started beating war drums, the stock prices of war manufacturers in Europe have gone through the roof. That is the reason why I brought up, and I only came across that yesterday because I've not been following global politics, not with the intensity that I used to. So I decided, you know what? This really makes sense. This really makes sense. War is a racket. Butler observed, war is a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. Now, Ukraine is an excellent example. Western European and American weapons manufacturers have made billions had made hundreds of billions of dollars out of the war in Ukraine. And Ukrainian young people have basically, Ukraine doesn't have a youthful population anymore. They've all been sacrificed in the name of, weapons manufacturers' profits. Again, I'm going to repeat that again. War is a racket. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. A racket is best described, I believe, is something that is not what is, what it seems to be, to be the majority, to the majority of the people. Only a small inside group knows what it is about. It is conducted for the benefit of the very few at the expense of the very many. Those are the writings of an army general who is telling you that it's diabolical to look at every war zone. But believe me, the very few on top are making millions of dollars at the diabolical nature of what we are all observing. Military guys, unfortunately, military guys like army generals and weapons contractors make billions of dollars. The former Secretary of State of the U.S., Anthony Blinken, pointed that out. About 70% of the billions of dollars that were supposedly sent to Ukraine did not go to Ukraine. This is actually the genius part about money laundering and war. What you do as a leader who will not stop at nothing to make a dollar, and you want to privatize taxpayers' money. This is how you do it. This is where I love the Americans. They've actually gave me the best education on how to use war to launder money. This is what you do. You take taxpayers' money. Let's just come back to Namibia. Take, for example, pistols. Pistols. And, we want an excuse to take taxpayers' money and then put it in the, give it to Shilongo Leather. And then a bunch of politicians in parliament have shares in Shilongo, not Shilongo Leather at this point, is Shilongo Pistols. Now, Shilongo Pistols is a company that makes, pistols in Namibia. It's a defense, it's a defense company. Defense is actually, is a misnomer. It's a, just the one, you know, a bunch of greedy idiots. Now, a bunch of politicians in parliament have shares. In other words, every year, Shilongo Pistols give this give its shareholders dividends. And some of those dividends, because some of the politicians have are shareholders in that company, they also get dividends at the end of the year. So these politicians will obviously figure out a way to make money, to privatize public funds. You take that money, you take public funds, you take taxpayers' money and you say, well, we have to support those guys that are fighting M23 in DRC. So we take, we are just helping DRC to fight M23. Now, what we do is we donate, quote unquote, donate $50 billion worth of pistols to DRC. No, we did not donate. What happened was the government took $50 billion of taxpayers' money and then they gave that money to Shilongo Pistols for Shilongo Pistols to manufacture those pistols and then we shipped the pistols to DRC. Well, the money that was used in the in the production of those pistols have basically, just like that, have become private money that can now be used by Shilongo Pistols to pay off its shareholders at the end of every year, some of them being politicians. And then, well, what happens to these politicians? To keep that scheme running, they will obviously be advocating for donation, military aid. Next thing you know, let's send money to Chad. Let's send money, let's send military aid to, to Sudan. Let's send military aid to Libya. Let's send military aid in all this, quote unquote, military aid. Taxpayers' money is basically being taken from the tax bases and then be privatized through private companies. And then some kickbacks is obviously given to politicians who will keep advocating for the, war at the end of the day. It's a genius, diabolical, but a very genius way to wash money. Which is basically how America does the whole, send troops to Ukraine, there's someone in the U.S. who is making those, the boots that you see the American soldiers wearing, the uniform that they're wearing, the bulletproof armor that they're wearing, the fighter jets they're making, the Humvees that they, all those things is being produced by private companies. And it's being bought by the government with taxpayers' money. This government is loaded with a bunch of politicians that have shares in these private companies. In other words, it's an infinite money glitch. Unfortunately, young people have to die to pay the price. Soldiers have protested in the US, those ones that have woken up to that reality. But a lot of them are still saying, sir, yes, sir. Not me.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just $300 a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Oyo mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mkulu olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali o hetatu batatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila Facebook monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's 2 minutes past the hour of 11. And if you just tuned in, you have tuned in to the, towards the end of, towards the end of Mind the Gap comedy show. Now, let me just, ease the tension, with, one of the wisdom, you know, with one of the wisdom I learned from Mr. Shoban. In this book, the introduction to the Namibian economy. That's, every time that you hear something like this come, you know, every time that you hear something like, you know, coming out of the either political or economic world, it can mean two things. It means, it can mean that it's, someone is up to something, or sometimes those things are just done to more like, things are overhyped up to increase the stock prices and also, and therefore profit. So the European defense stock saw as arms market expect order boom. Now look, ever since the American president decided to tell the EU NATO members to start paying their dues militarily, a lot of European countries decided to go on a shopping spree for military hardware and basically military investment. Now, it's either these guys are serious about going to war with a nuclear arms that has 6,000 of them. And by the way, just two are enough. Forget ten, two are enough. And now it's either they're serious about going to war with Russia. That's one. Or it's either they're just hyping all this up to basically, to increase their stock prices and then get a giant fat paycheck in dividend at the end of the year. Now, both of which, the second one is a genius because it's been used before. It works all the time. The best way to make a company money is tell people that it's doing wonderfully well. Now, the economy is doing wonderfully.
That colleagues, don't worry. The money will come.
That guy has a way of trending.
Yeah. That man makes my day, even if I was sad, the moment I see that, my day gets mad.
Cryptocurrency, the money that's in the air.
There's even one video where he's not even saying anything, he's just doing this.
I'm here to assure you people and assure the country the economy is now on. That's the best finance minister on the African continent. No,
he's the best. Like for real, he's the best.
Look, but you have to understand, homeboy has been Uganda's finance minister since 2015. So he's been doing this well. He knows, so believe him when he's telling you that, colleagues, money will come. everything he says, he follows it up with that, some kind of, maniacal laugh. What's your take on job interviews? So, teachers are protesting somewhere in Dura saying
I saw that.
Get rid of job interviews. What would you consider as a second, more like a vetting process that you'd use to, in your recruitment process if you get rid of interviews?
I think for me, the one thing that I would use, depending on the type of job, if the job requires you to have experience in that particular field, I would really just use experience, how much experience you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. How do you weigh that experience? Like give them a task to do for a couple of days?
Make them
an intern, and if they prove themselves, you hire them?
Yeah, or? I think that would work because honestly speaking, job interviews, I'm also one person that has, done a few job interviews where I feel like if I had to be given the job, just to be given the job without having, done the job interview, I would have done it and I would have gotten the job. But because I'm not so good at speaking in front of so many strangers who are looking at you,
mm-hmm.
and they have an expectations of what you need to say or answer or respond yep. and all that, I struggle so much. So yeah, I feel like they really need to look at this interview, you know, process, to be honest.
Okay.
It's not everybody that can speak who can do the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting enough, you know, interviews are actually, you know, interviews were, how to put it, the founder of the whole interview processes, they can be traced back to Thomas Edison, the same guy that supposedly invented a light bulb. And so there's also a whole debate in that one. You have to understand that back then skills were just something that was kept in the family.
Yeah.
So, whatever skills that I'm good at, I'll just, as I grow old, I'll train my child, you know, in the same skills. Now the thing is, colleges became a thing and people wanted to, a lot of people wanted to work for Thomas, you know, wanted to do their internship or more like work for Thomas Edison. So he decided to devise a vetting process that will enable him to tell who is the best candidate to take and who not to take. So he came up with job interviews.
Yeah.
And of course they have been, they have evolved over time with throwing some scientific and psychological, analysis, which all failed miserably, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourselves. Guys, yeah, you have my a copy yourself. Of my ID. What the heck do you want?
They also give you a scenario if you had a conflict with a colleague. How would you go about? I'm like, I'll beat the hell out of them.
For some reason, if you say that, that's the truth. If you say that,
yes,
you can't get the job.
You can't.
You have to say, no, I have developed a briefing technique. What briefing technique? I'm punching him in the teeth.
I'm beating the hell out of that person. I'm not even going to play with them.
the funny thing is, even if, the person asking the question was in that situation, they would punch the heck out of that person.
Exactly.
And they'll be there pretending like, nah, they'll be holy. You get out of here.
Exactly. So, like, honestly speaking, the job interviews, Nayo, or maybe they need to relook at how they are done.
Fix it here and there.
Yeah, because I've also had even the vetting process, especially in the government. I've had the vetting process is also, it's deep. It's deep.
Oh yeah, it's really deep. My favorite interview is found in season one, the first 5 minutes of Scandal. That's the first job interview.
Is it?
Yeah, they just met.
I don't know if I watched Scandal. Maybe I have.
They just met at a club.
Maybe I have.
There you go. Now I have to run 10 minutes into Sizu Masalicho. Bo Francis Nengela is here, and Bo Ma Wifey is here. And for me, until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. And parliamentarians and your salary increment, you guys must be serious. Have you seen the economy?
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.